So as I already mentioned, Christmas in July is coming up, and the title of our lesson this week is Do Not Open Until Christmas. I don't know if you went through that when you were a kid, and your mom said don't do that, or your dad, usually the moms did that. I know one time, I can't remember if it was intentional or a mistake, but my folks came home from shopping a week or two before Christmas, and somehow I discovered that they were getting me a little bow and arrow. I was devastated that I saw it before Christmas morning. It had lost some meaning to me. Yeah, I used it and then broke it probably the week after, but a gift given and is usually given for an occasion and for a reason, and there's timing involved. That's one of the reasons why we're taking time in talking about this issue of being a servant through the church to one another and to those people who are outside, because we can rush in and say, hey, give me the list and match me up, and now we want to take some time, because when that gift is opened at the right time, it has more meaning and will have more impact. And that's what we want. We just don't want to do our own little list of things. So we're going to talk about this gift that's been given. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be there for at least another week, and it might be three more weeks, because there's so much in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about this thing called spiritual gifts that we need to understand. Because as you know, our premise is he wants us to live a 3D life, fully dimensional, which means we don't only take in what we need. That's part of what he does for us, but we give out from what he gives us in a steady stream to help other people. So if you have a handout this morning, number one is list, gift list. He starts out, Paul does, by saying, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. The church at Corinth, we don't have a record of the letter they wrote to him, but they wrote a letter to Paul in his long ministry, and I just read some of that in the book of Acts this morning about his long ministry with the Corinthian church. At some point, they wrote to ask him about these gifts. And so he is responding, and isn't that just like, you know, when you get around Christmas or maybe your birthday, and I wasn't familiar with this in my own biological family, but now that I'm married into Diana's family, they ask you for a list. What do you want for your birthday, and what do you want for Christmas? That's like the most challenging thing I have to do every year. I just bless me with something. I really don't care. And so they had they were given their gift list, in a sense, to Paul. Hey, what do we do about this? If you know anything about the church in Corinth, and if you don't, now you will, they were a chaotic church. They had the Spirit in their midst. They had been changed, but they had pride. They had wrestling for position, and they had power, and they took sides, and they were divisive. It's like, I'm glad the two books, 1 and 2 Corinthians, are in the New Testament, because it gives us hope when we're messed up, because they were really messed up. But Paul, as he always did, and as we always need to do, we applaud where we're gaining ground and getting closer to Christ, but we address the places where we need to grow and we need to change and we need to surrender. And so in this book, he does that up until this. The chapters that precede this are outlining some of those things, how Jesus wants those folks to interact with one another. So number two, there is an expectation adjustment. When I got to be an adult and started the whole family deal, In my head, I had an expectation that Christmas was going to feel and look like it did when I was a kid. I had no idea how much work was involved in being a parent at Christmas. And as we decorated the tree, one of my boys would start arguing and go off, and then the other one would get bored and go off, and there I was decorating the tree by myself. Sometimes we have an expectation adjustment, and he was giving them one. They had an idea of how this thing should work. So in 1 Corinthians 12, 2 and 3, he says, you know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Listen, I just need to pause and pray for a minute, okay? Lord, slow down my mind. Help us be in this spirit we're talking about right now, your Holy Spirit, and discern from you the important things we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for that liberty. So there is represented in these couple of verses the old and the new. We're always struggling with the old and the new. By the way we were born into this world, we gravitate toward getting back to the old, which is centered around self, and then we have to struggle to stay in the new. So the old, A, if you have a handout, the gifts were the focus, and it defined who they were. Define or defined goes in that blank if you have a handout. So he says here, when you were pagan, so you can use that to call somebody a name, or you can understand that meant people who worshiped idols, people who worshiped really anything or anybody other than the one true God. That was a pagan person. They were outside of the Jewish faith and the understanding of the one who created the world and was the God of the hills and the valleys, and not just one. He says, when you were that, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So this act of worship toward idols contained and mirrors really human character, or human nature, I should say, that outward actions define to whom we belong. I just think in my mind of the big contest between Baal and God in the book of the Kings with Elijah. And if you know that story, there was that challenge to see whose God was really the Lord. And these pagan Baal worshipers were dancing around in worship. They were cutting themselves and bleeding. It was part of their identity. We belong to this God, Baal. And this is how we know, because we do these things. We shout louder and louder, and we spend more time battling on, and nothing happened. And of course, Elijah just asked God, and God came down and showed them that he was the one. That's the old. We need to remember this, because sometimes we get locked in this pattern where the gifts we discover and that we're using in service become our definers, our identity. It's not our identity. That's the train in the wrong end of the line. We need to have it in the right end. But Paul goes on to say, so I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So B is Jesus defines. These gifts don't define. Jesus defines. When we talk about, and we're not doing that today, but we'll talk about a little bit of their disunity and misuse, this is a central key thought. I'm not defined by what I can do, which is a purpose of gifts in part, but by who I belong to. I'm a follower of Jesus, and those gifts don't tell me I'm more or less of a follower of Jesus. So, kind of backtracking a little bit, in the first section of Scripture we read, the first verse, Paul says, the Spirit gives us, he introduces the theme there to remember, these gifts come from the Holy Spirit. And then in this section of Scripture we just read, verses 2 and 3, he said that they are by the Spirit of God, that same Holy Spirit. We can't curse Jesus if you are a Spirit of God person, and you can only say that Jesus is Lord, truly. Anybody can utter those words, but you know what he means, that in your heart you believe that Jesus is really the Lord by the Holy Spirit. So it is this Holy Spirit mark that helps us know we belong to Jesus, not by the gifts he gives, not how well we use them. It has to be that way, or we gain some kind of sovereignty in our own life and feel like we can make the difference that needs to be made. Because let's face it, I hope we've been honest about this through the course of this series. Sometimes using your gifts gets challenging. Sometimes you get tired. Sometimes you say, I don't want to do it now or today or next week. If the gift defines you, you're going to approach that a lot differently than if you remember you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the giver of gifts. That is your belonging. And he will empower you to push past the more difficult moments and times and aspects. Some servings have tough built into them. I mean, you know, some of them are like that. So here it says there is a confession here. You can't say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And I'm reminded of Peter's confession, and that's what he's talking about. This is the pivot upon which what we believe hinges right here in Matthew 16, 15 and 16. But what about you, Jesus asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the confession. That's how we know. When I believe that and can declare that, I know I belong to him. He is the Son of the living God. It is not the outward, the worship and the cutting and the loudness and, you know, exerting control over your gift or a group of people who work in that giftedness. That doesn't identify us as Christ followers. It is this confession of Christ. You are the Son of the living God. So Paul is adjusting their expectations. You can imagine if they approached it this way instead of some of the division. Now, I haven't read all that. I encourage you, go back. You have a Sunday afternoon. It's probably going to rain again, so you won't be able to be outside. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians and read the chapters coming up to this chapter and see. If you've never done that, you're going to go, dude, this is worse than the news. And it's the church Paul is dealing with. Then we come to the gift giver. Number three, again, he started this theme in verse 1, introducing or not introducing because they knew about the Holy Spirit, but linking it and reminding them again, these special abilities are by that Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And he goes on to say in verses 4 through 6, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. They needed to hear this message, and we needed to hear that. We need to hear this message. Because they would exalt their gifts and compare and think theirs was better, and it made them better servants somehow. And they missed that expectation change. And so Paul was encouraging them to do that, and he was reminding them, all these gifts come from God through the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. That's a foundational belief in the Free Methodist Church, as it is in many worshiping churches. It is what the Bible represents to us. So I don't know how you guys did Christmas, but I know in my Christmas there were not extravagant. I mean, I've seen piles of presents. And if you do that, I'm sorry, but piles of presents, okay? Well, we would have from mom, why was dad's name never on it? I don't know. And then from Santa. We had one gift from Santa. You guys do that? What if that was the way the spiritual gifts came? Well, these are from the Holy Spirit, and these were from, and the church thought you ought to do that, or your best friend thought. What confusion, and how do you know what's right? Well, Paul is saying a true gift is only from the Holy Spirit, which is a surrender point. I come to you, Lord, to figure out what this is and how to use it. It is that same one Spirit. So just let's do a definition, one word, real important. We've tossed it around a bit, and I don't think I've ever touched on this yet, but it's really important, the word gifts. It means favor received without merit. Charis. What's the other word we use? Grace. It's that same word, grace. God shows his grace upon us by dying for us. That in itself is a gift, and then he gives us grace gifts. We don't earn them. Often, gifts will complement talents and experience. Sometimes they don't. Every time, it is a gift and a grace that we don't deserve. And don't miss these overtones that I'll cover in another week of oneness, because they had a problem with being one and what it means to be one with different people and different gifts funneled together to accomplish a solitary mission expressed by making disciples and teaching them about what Jesus said about how to live, that kind of two-sided coin of the Great Commission. You see, it's one, 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 and we have to have that center, or we won't be able to be one. So he talked about, he gave him that expectation adjustment. He reminded them about who gives all the gifts, and the same scripture passage, verses 4 through 6, he talks about gift investment. So when I got my bow and arrow and got over my grief at seeing it early, if it just lays there and never gets shot, it hasn't accomplished its mission, shall we say, and its purpose. So we also, even though we're given a gift and it's we don't deserve it, we haven't earned it, which means we can't stomp our foot and say, I want that one. We have something to do. We have investment in it. So in those three verses, we see a couple of words we need to draw out as well. In verse 5, Paul says there are different kinds of service. That word actually means ministering. When you're serving someone, you're ministering. It's an excellent way to look at it, because it doesn't matter what role it is, what list of duties fall under you accomplishing your gifting. You're ministering in some way, directly to an individual, maybe to the church as a whole, your neighbor. It is a ministry. That helps when it gets tasky, when it gets duty, when it gets repetitive. I have to do that again. Every once in a while, I do this thing where I go, how many more sermons until my retirement? Don't do that. Don't do that. It's like, it's overwhelming. You can't think like that. It's a ministry. And when things get tough in my life, it's you called and it's for this reason. And yeah, maybe this is a tough week and I can get through this. And then there is another set of words, two words in verse 6. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. We have works and work. It's got the same root. One is a noun and one is a verb, and it means energy. It sounds almost exactly like energy in the Greek, with a slight emphasis and a different ending on the word. There is a work that exists, and it's a thing that needs to be done, and the work, the energy, and it takes energy to do it. So let's not pretend that it's whistling through all that stuff and it's going to be a breeze and you're not going to be pressed, and sometimes you have to hunker down and go, you know, I could do this with my family, but this is the call at this moment and I need to do this. We invest with our energy in the use of those gifts that are given freely because we don't deserve them, we haven't earned them and can't, for ministry. And then after reminding them of who the giver is and that there is an investment or the gift falls flat, it doesn't really do what it accomplishes. Imagine if you buy gifts for your kids under the tree and they open them and they never get touched, they never get used or worn or ridden or whatever it is you bought them. How would you feel about that, and what would happen to those gifts? He talks about gift use, number 5, gift use, and ends the passage we're covering today with this statement: a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And that is just so clarifying. And there are two things in that one little verse. The first, A, it includes everyone. It includes everyone. He says, to each of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. So much energy, but this is the wrong use of it as far as I'm concerned. In my experience over the years, has been someone so, you know, doggedly determined to define their gift as a certain thing in a certain area, sometimes because they just would rather do that than what God's calling them to do. Sometimes it's unknown. I mean, we're in this process together, and one of the reasons we're taking time is so we can develop this, so we can get involved in this and discover it. But for someone to say, I'm not gifted, I can't figure out my gift. And as I think I've said a couple weeks ago, I was on vacation last week, so like there's a big gap in my mind about when things happen. But until you discover that thing that is a gift, do things you can do. And God will help, will use those things to help you discover this spiritual giftedness, which is totally different. We haven't even defined that yet, have we? Laying so much groundwork here. So it's for everyone and includes everyone. And B, it is a benefit to others. It includes me, but it's not for me. Now, let me say, there is always a blessing in any gift God gives you, but it is the use for others that completes the blessing in us, or it really won't be a blessing. Let me promise you that. Talk to someone who has been walking with Jesus for a long time about this issue of not investing a gift, how unsettling it is. And sometimes it's because we haven't helped well enough, so we have to take our responsibility as a church, because we want to help you. We don't always do it immediately. Sometimes we wrestle as you wrestle, but it's really not a blessing till the full blessing, let's say. And this 3D, which is the title of this series, comes into play when we are starting to put that into practice. So if a gift is given to everyone and that gift is intended for someone else and I don't practice my gifts, then it must be true that there is someone who is going without what I could do for them because I haven't done it, because it's intended. And just like we talked about in the beginning, when Paul said, you were created to do works that God created beforehand for you to do, I believe it's that specific. He wants you to speak into particular people's lives by your actions and your service and what you do. Is that a guilt trip? You could make it that. I'm not trying to make it a guilt trip, but I think we need to think about that. We're here to bless and minister. The word is in this passage. It's ministry to one another. And someone could go without that ministry. If I just do something as simply as saying, I don't think I want to follow you in exercising this gift, which includes discovering it, trying things out, and all the rest till we figure that out. So here I want to bring, I've tried to do this over the last couple weeks at least, bring you serving opportunities that I know are available. Jason, I need your help with the one. So Jason, if you'd come up. Somebody write that down because I didn't hear it. I want to know what he said. So we have an opportunity for you to serve in the role of custodian of our church. And Jason has been doing that for how many years? I don't have the microphone.
2 years.
For 2 years. So he's come in every weekend, and that's a weird thing, especially if somebody's using the building on a Saturday. And he and his family have come in. And this opportunity, so just hold on, be embarrassed or whatever. Do you like to be in front of people?
No.
Oh, good. I can't do that with everybody, but we can with Jason. We have advertised this as a paying position, and it is a paid position, 7.5 hours a week. And we're still pursuing that, but I also took the liberty of breaking down the tasks into four geographic areas of the church. So we have restrooms, we have the auditorium and the platform, we have the entries and the hallways, and we have the main, that kitchen, and the one at the end in the north hall. If four people would come up and say, I can do that for now as a server, and maybe God will say to you, you know, this could be my paid position too. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm taking the bathrooms for a short time. I will clean the bathrooms at the end of the week and before church. I want you to know, first of all, don't think, do you have enough time for this, or isn't that's not your calling. That's okay. There are times when we do something that's different than our main calling. I got to say, compared to dusting, I love cleaning toilets. Okay? So I would never do the dusting. I'll clean toilets till the cows come home. So I'll do that. So that leaves three. These are opportunities. If you will pray, God, is this something I can do temporarily while we're continuing to reach out and trying to find that person or family, as Jason's family has done, to clean the church every week. So that's one opportunity. But I want to recognize the good job Jason has done, and I want to pray for the next phase in his life as he concentrates. He is also our treasurer. You may not have known that. So he is involved and is not going away and not being involved anymore. But we honor our servers. And now that was a paid position, but still, he is a, I have to say, volunteer treasurer. He doesn't get paid for that. And so I want you to know it's important what you do. And would you just reach out your hand toward Jason and let's just pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this kind of service that I know in our minds to many of us, it is a kind of a, on the strata of jobs. It's at the bottom, but you elevate every role as being important. And frankly, I couldn't imagine if we had to come into this building every Sunday with a mess, with bathrooms that weren't cleaned, with dirt and grime all over, and you've enabled Jason and his family to step up and do this for 2 years, and you've given them resources in this strange stretch of his own life where family issues have been coming into play and job responsibilities and complicated with COVID. And we just pray a blessing on he and Rachel and the family. We thank you for their great service to us and pray that he would feel blessing and leadership. Give him an anointing, a fresh anointing for working in the finances as a treasurer. And thank you, Lord, for him coming forward to do this. We commit him to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jason. So I have that list here and another copy in the office, and actually you can go online, lfmchurch.net, click on the button that says service. I can't remember the exact thing it says, and it'll take you to a page that gives you an option to see these things as well, and you can think and pray about that and get with me. The second one is a service op at Covenant Hills Camp. Today is the first day of an age-level camp, and they are missing a counselor. A female counselor had a complication with family or schedule and couldn't come. And they're looking for a female counselor to be there, I think, for the next 2 weeks. And did I put Mark's? Oh, phooey, I didn't put that up there. You can get a hold of the executive director, Mark, if you're interested in this, at markm@covenanthills.org. And I'll get with you. And then he's looking for meal prep people. These are both paid positions, by the way. Camp starting up after COVID, things have been uncertain. They need help in the kitchen, so they need help at every meal. If that's something you'd like to do, you can get a hold of Mark and do that too. So our gifts are for or to each of us, and they're for the benefit of others. And those are some areas where you can be involved in being a benefit to others. And finally, we have my investment. I want to concentrate on that. We've ended every lesson with a question for you to ask, and actually today it's a prayer for you to pray. So in week one, what could my good things be was the question. God has prepared us to do good things that he prepared before. What could they be? These are prayers and questions to ask. Oh yeah, and see the date, so you can go to that sermon and look at those notes if you want to on our website, lfmchurch.net. Recent connection. That's where you get that. Week two, what needs get my attention? We talked about how certain things appeal to certain people, and like, I hate dust so much I don't even see it, so I'd never see the need for dusting. But some of you would see dust a mile away. So that's a real common example of this whole spiritual thing. What needs get my attention? Is it single moms? Is it the homeless? Is it people who are struggling with health? The list is nearly endless. It goes on and on. These are questions and prayers. Week three, how am I cultivating a healthy spiritual journey? Less focused on what I could do, but more on where am I? Because frankly, if you're not in a healthy journey, your perception of your gifts will be skewed and obstructed, and your ability to use those gifts will be hampered. It's so important. That almost could have been the first question. And today's question or prayer is, prepare me to receive and use your gifts according to your will. And here's what I suggest. First of all, I hope you have one time a day that you have set aside and you call it your prayer time or your devotion time. I won't insist on the mornings, though the psalmist has something to say about the value of morning devotions. But if you will set aside this time, and in that time, pray this prayer, prepare me to receive and use your gifts according to your will. Start there. And then every time you think of praying, when you pray for a prayer request that comes down our prayer chain or something, pray this too. Lord, prepare me to receive and use your gifts according to your will. You see what's going on here. It is a willingness first. Prepare me to receive. There's lots of reasons why people aren't exercising their gifts. And we're not here to lay guilt trips on anybody, but I'll tell you what. We want everyone to have the full blessing. There isn't the full blessing. Even if the gift you have because of physical or other limitations is all I can do is pray, don't ever say that. Prayer is so powerful. Just this week, God did two or three outstanding things, as I just said, Lord, I need this help. And he answers prayer. We need more people with whom we can share prayer requests and for you to go before the throne and stand in the gap on behalf of other people. From the custodian, the finance team, the children's department, and the praise team, prayer meeting. There's all sorts of things, but we will be better at actually presenting you options to do that. Week 4, our prayer today is, prepare me to receive and use your gifts according to your will. Pray that to God the Father. Now, folks, if you're here and you are not walking in a relationship with Jesus, this prayer needs to be after you ask Jesus to show you, you surrender to Jesus and allow what he did on the cross, paying the penalty for your sin, to become yours personally, that you give your life to him in that way. Then pray this, and he will lead you to the place of service. But if you are not yet a follower of Jesus, we're going to do our best to find a place for you to be a part of what we do in serving and using your energies, because God doesn't say only spiritual gift energies should be used. No, we can use what you have to give and your experience and your talents as well. And he'll speak to you through those things and help lead you where you need to be. So I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to close in prayer. This may spur a conversation you need to have with God before you can even pray this. Even as a follower, am I ready? Do I really want to serve? Do I want to know? Not do I want to tell you what I want to do, but do I want to know from you, Lord, how you have decided to gift me? Because it's going to be for the benefit of others, and it will be for the blessing of all and allow us to fulfill our mission. And then the praise team will come up, and we'll close with the doxology. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Paul and his patience with the Corinthian church, who really were gifted with gifts, and they knew it. There were many things going on in their church where they could see you working, and it was beyond their natural abilities. And yet, those gifts were in some way not opened at the right time. They misused them. They didn't rely on you. They put too much weight in the gift instead of the giver. And that this is representative to us because maybe that's not our problem. But we as human beings each have our own difficulty to coming to you and receiving, being willing to receive the gift and then using it, and sometimes even when it's very difficult to do. Lord, it's hard when we can't predict for someone else the kind of blessing and what you do. We can only just keep saying it, that you do come through every time in your promise to bless your people every time they say yes to you in all the things and all the ways and choices we have to say either yes or no. And so I pray, Lord, you would block the enemy in his attempts to not have us be involved, depriving maybe someone of a needed ministry, and depriving ourselves really of the fullness that you intended for us to walk in this life. You want us to have a good life now and then an eternal awesomeness, and we thank you for that. I pray, Lord, for those who may be watching or here that haven't made the choice to start following you and make it personal and own you in that sense for themselves. I pray, Lord, you'd help them to cross that line this morning and, or whenever they watch this and say, yes, I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus. I'm going to start walking. And then help us to know, help them to let us know so we can surround them in prayer and help them in this strange life, in this strange land. This isn't our home. Eternity, heaven with you, that's our created home, and we're anxious to be there. But we want to be busy while we're here, so lead us together to do that. And Lord, come quickly in this time in which we live. But help us honor you fully until that time comes. So bless us in the rest of this day and help us to pray this. Lord, prepare me to receive and use these gifts in the way you will it. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.